We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, the number is 617-779-7937. Getting ready for the match in about an hour from now. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady having another documentary coming out, certainly welcome to do so. I'd be more compelled to watch something about Belichick than Brady. There's more things we don't know about Belichick. Getting Belichick's explanation on why he wanted to trade Gronk, how he was upset with Gronk, how Gronk basically waited forever to announce he was coming back in the 2018 season. There's more to the Belichick angle than Brady. What else could we possibly find out about Brady? We know what happened at Michigan. We know that he lost his job to Drew Henson and got it back. We know that he was the 199th pick in the draft. We found out everything we need to know about Brady. Oh, he's going to break down what happened in the Super Bowls. Quite frankly, I'd be more interested in Belichick talking about what happened in the Super Bowls than Brady. Getting Belichick's explanation for why Nick Foles ripped up his defense, how they lost to Eli Manning twice. I'd be more interested in getting Belichick's side of the story than getting Brady's side of the story. Brady's already weighed in on all these topics, so I don't have an appetite for more Tom Brady documentaries. And it's not because he's a member of the Buccaneers. If he was still a member of the Patriots, I would not be interested in another documentary or docuseries about Tom Brady. I just wouldn't. I've gotten enough from the Tom Brady documentary aspect, if you will. We got the Tom versus Time, which a lot of that had to do with his family. We found out what type of family man he was. We found out he's obsessed with watching film, all that stuff. I don't need any more of that. With Belichick, you can find compelling topics to discuss with him. With Brady, I'm sorry, there's just not a lot there. We found it all out already. By the way, Paul Pierce released his top five players in the history of the NBA this week, and he didn't include LeBron James on the list. Instead, he put Kobe Bryant, the late great Kobe Bryant, with his fifth greatest player of all time. I don't understand how you could possibly do that. I went through the numbers. It's not even close when you compare the two players. It's just Kobe Bryant and the legacy of Kobe Bryant. There's not an argument for why Kobe Bryant should be higher up on the NBA all-time list than LeBron James. There just isn't an argument. And by the way, what was Kobe Bryant, like the best player in the NBA for maybe a two-year span? LeBron James has been the best player in the NBA for more than a decade, okay? And Paul Pierce, one of the arguments he uses is, well, he never built up an organization. Well, I'm sorry, what? He never built up an organization. He went to the Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the worst teams in the history of the NBA, and he beat a team that won 72 games. There's no championship in Cleveland without LeBron James. There's none. There's no championship in Cleveland without LeBron James. He beat a team that had 72 wins, not to mention this Warriors team that just set the record for the most wins in NBA history. Guess what? That same Warriors team had to go beg Kevin Durant to play for them because they needed two MVPs, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, just to beat LeBron James in the NBA Finals. So I don't understand whatsoever how Paul Pierce could put Kobe Bryant ahead of LeBron James on this list. And the fact that LeBron James is not top five in NBA history, that is an absolute joke. There's no argument against LeBron James being a top five player in the history of the league. You could argue he's top two. I'd entertain Kareem. I'd entertain Magic, right? But in terms of being in the top five, LeBron is clearly there. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Johnny's in Boston. What's up, John?
Hey, Brian, how you doing? I will argue in favor of Kobe over LeBron, and here's why.
Okay.
The reason being is, A, Kobe has five championships, LeBron has three. No argument. Second.
Well, hold on. But that's a little misleading. He was only the guy on two of those teams. He was the supporting actor. He played with the most dominating figure in the NBA at that point in time. That's like saying.
Okay, and Kyrie Irving didn't hit the game-winning shot in Game 7 either, did he?
What do you think? Kobe hit every shot that the Lakers needed to win?
No, but LeBron didn't hit the one with the championship he won in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He just had 40 in back-to-back games in the NBA Finals. So, yeah, you're right. It was more about Kyrie.
Here's the deal, man.
That was the icing on the cake.
That LeBron James has, and you can't go to the rim and finish at the hoop like Michael Jordan did against the Bad Boys and the Pistons. What? And Michael Jordan ain't even the size of LeBron James. If LeBron James and Michael Jordan had a weightlifting competition, I bet LeBron James would win. Here's his problem. He can't even go to the rim. He's a rim player. He's not a shooter. He's a rim player.
John, what are you talking about? LeBron can't go to the rim. What are you talking? That makes no sense.
No, I said that is what LeBron is. He is a rim player, bro. He's not a shooter. He's a rim player. And Jordan, and he's way bigger than Jordan. And the reason why he passed up the shots at the end of the game is because he can't hit him. But the guy can't even go to the hoop anyway.
John, hold on a second. I believe that Michael Jordan was a better basketball player than LeBron James. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. I never said anything about LeBron being better than Jordan. I've never made that argument in my life.
Yeah, because LeBron can't finish games and Kobe did. That's the point. See, LeBron is big enough.
You know, John. Who has more playoff game? Who has more playoff game winners? LeBron or Kobe?
What's more championships?
Yeah, but John, you're missing the point, man. You're missing the point. I don't understand.
Titles are the point, Brian. Titles. If Brady were 3-6 instead of 6-3 in the Super Bowl, do you think that people would say he's better than Peyton Manning?
If Brady was, yes, I do think people would say that. He'd still have more championships than Peyton. Yeah, what do you mean?
Do you think they'd say he's better than Eli Manning? If he had only won 3 Super Bowls and had lost 2 against Eli, do you think they'd say
he's better than Eli? John, we're going in circles here. I appreciate the phone call. Okay. I appreciate the phone call. But if Tom Brady had 3 Super Bowls and Eli Manning had 2 and he had lost 2 to Eli, yes, I still think that people would believe that Tom Brady was a better player than Eli Manning, because Tom Brady has all the regular season accolades where he's a 3-time MVP. He's been an all-pro multiple times. I still think that people would side with Tom Brady over Eli Manning, despite the fact that Eli beat him in 2 Super Bowls. Okay, this whole argument was never about Michael Jordan, so I don't know how he got into the Michael Jordan aspect. I believe that Michael Jordan was the better player than LeBron James. But when you talk about the fact that LeBron, he brings up the Bad Boy Pistons, LeBron couldn't go through the Bad Boy Pistons, he never played them. I don't understand how that's like a topic of conversation. He never played the Bad Boy Pistons. And you really think that Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer were going to be the reason that LeBron James didn't win championships? You had a team established with 2 MVPs just to beat LeBron. Okay, a team in Golden State that already had Steph Curry, the greatest shooter in the history of the sport, they had to go get maybe the best scorer of this generation in Kevin Durant to team up with them just to beat LeBron James. Okay, so this whole thing about Kobe and LeBron as well. Because he has more championships, that means that he's definitely a better player. That, to me, just that argument doesn't hold weight whatsoever, especially considering the fact that it wasn't like Kobe was the engine on all those teams. The reason they won all those championships in the early 2000s was because of Shaq. Yes, Kobe was one of the best sidekicks in NBA history at that point in time, but he wasn't the man. Shaquille O'Neal was the man. You weren't going into games if you were an opponent saying, hey, number one thing on the scouting report, how do we stop Kobe? No, it was how do we stop Shaq? Okay, now I give him credit for the second 2 championships that he got, or I should say the repeat that he got the second time around. He was the man on the team. No disputing that whatsoever. He was the best player on 2 championship teams. LeBron just happened to be the best player on 3 championship teams. LeBron just so happened to be a 4-time MVP. Kobe is a 1-time MVP. There's no argument in terms of LeBron versus Kobe Bryant. LeBron was the more efficient player. Kobe was this great scorer. LeBron was actually a more efficient scorer and averaged more points per game throughout his NBA career. Not to mention the fact everybody gives me this crap about, and he was just bringing it up, clutch. Okay, LeBron actually has more game winners in the playoffs than Kobe did. Game 7s, LeBron's better. He's 14-10. Kobe's 8-11. LeBron averaged 33 points per game. Kobe averaged 22. So all that stuff that people point out through the years, it's not true. Kobe is not a better clutch player than LeBron. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you until 4 o'clock. Let's get to Jason in Nashville. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hope everything's well with you during this pandemic. So with no sports and nothing going on, I'm with you, man. Like, the past, we'll say, 3 months, it's been all Brady, okay? Mm-hmm. And, like, not only that, it's been a lot of Patriots bashing, like Bill Belichick bashing more than Brady bashing. I don't know where people are saying that Brady's getting the brunt of a lot of these things. That's not even, to me, it seems like he's putting this thing out to keep New England fans on his side for so, like, or something like that. I have no idea. But for me, I've been listening to Phil Perry's podcast.
Oh, hold on, Jason. Hold on 1 second. So you think that Brady wants to put out this documentary to keep Patriots fans on his side so people don't eventually side with Belichick and the whole Brady-Belichick breakup, if you will?
I don't know. Maybe not, but that's just what it seems like to me.
Oh, that's like, an interesting theory, because that would make sense in terms of why he would want to put this out so quickly, was to keep the fans on his side, so to speak.
Yeah, it doesn't
make sense to me. Jason, we've got enough documentaries and enough stuff with Brady. It just feels like at this point in time, I don't know if there's really an appetite for a Brady documentary. It just doesn't seem like
it's... especially when it's, when he's on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. Do you think they want to watch the 9 Super Bowls with the Patriots?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
But not only that, like, I've been listening to Phil Perry's podcast just to get an idea of the Patriots rookies that are coming in. I like a couple of these kids. Like, Josh Uche was Winovich's teammate. He had 8.5 sacks last year.
Yeah, like, the kid from Michigan. Yeah, I like that pick, too.
I like Asiasi, too. Like, he had his college coach on his podcast, and I'm listening about this kid. He seems like a kid that is, he wants to block. He's a good, he has good hands. He can catch. Like, I'm excited for a couple of these guys. I think Arian Meyers will even be better with this. Like, that's just the way I feel.
You think what? Arian's what?
No, I think that Harry and Meyers will be better with Stidham.
Oh, yeah.
At least throw to him.
That's a fair point, Jason. And I would argue that last year that Brady didn't have the patience for N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Meyers. And if you think about
he had Harry over his house once, and it was for a photo op.
Yeah, and Jason, if you think about it too, Brady told Howard Stern that he basically knew before the season that he was going to leave the Patriots, right? So he knew before the 2019 season. What would be Brady's motivation to try to develop N'Keal Harry? He wasn't going to be there the following year, so he didn't have any motivation to work with the player.
He already knew that Gronk was going with him. Like, I think that they already knew about this.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that it's just, I just want to know more about these rookies, and everybody just keeps on, I get it, Brady's a big story, but come on, man. It's enough. Like, it's getting old. It's 3 months of it.
Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, Jason. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. Somebody points out on the text line when we were talking about Paul Pierce's top five list, Larry Bird should be ranked higher than Kobe Bryant. Give me a break. Okay, when you look at Larry Bird, his peak was better than Kobe Bryant's peak. He was the MVP of the NBA 3 consecutive years, 84, 85, 86. Unbelievable passer, won 3 championships. Now, Kobe has him in longevity, but if you're talking about peaks, Larry Bird's peak was higher than Kobe Bryant's peak. Larry Bird was, without question, the best player in the NBA for 3 years. I get he lost to Magic in the 85 finals, but in 84 they won, and then in 86, that's arguably the greatest basketball team that was ever assembled. Now, we can argue the 96-97 Bulls. You can make an argument for the Warriors. You can make an argument for some of the Showtime Lakers teams. You can make an argument for the Kobe Shaq Lakers. But if you're naming the top 5 teams in NBA history, that 86 Celtics team has to be on your list. Okay, let's get to Buzz. He's in Buffalo. What's up, Buzz? Hey, Buzz, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. What's up, man?
Okay, how you doing, man?
Good.
I just tuned in, and I was hearing a conversation about, you know, Kobe versus LeBron.
Right.
And so I'm about 50 years old. I'll be 50 next month. And so it's easily Jordan. Like I've been saying for 20 years now, Jordan is the best that I've ever seen by far. And then you have to have a 10-part documentary to prove to the young kids that this dude was a killer.
Yeah.
You know, so he was the best. He was the best.
Yeah, but no doubt about that, Buzz. The reason I brought it up is just Paul Pierce this week had his top 5 list, and he had Kobe as a top 5 player, not LeBron.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. One thing I've been arguing about over the last few years, too, or expressing more specifically, is that the second best player I ever saw was not LeBron or Kobe. It was Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hmm.
And now who won the 2 championships when Mike was down playing ball in Alabama when he took the 2 years off? Who won those championships?
Yeah, who was drafted
ahead of Michael Jordan? And by the way, Reinsdorf or whatever, or whoever the GM for the Bulls was, he even admitted Krause. He even said that he would have taken Hakeem first overall too. He's the second best player I've ever seen. So let's give Hakeem the Dream a little love, brother.
Yeah, I believe. I believe he's an underrated player in NBA history, but I don't think he was better than LeBron James. But I understand your point.
He's definitely better than LeBron James.
No,
if you were starting a team,
yes, I would take LeBron over Hakeem.
He developed a perimeter game. Olajuwon actually developed a perimeter game after he got out of college. Like in today's NBA, he'd be a monster. He was just a supreme athlete. And by the way, the best ever is Wilt Chamberlain. I wasn't around to see him, but I mean, look at the history. He changed the game. But hey, sorry guys, lost Tom Brady. Take care. Peace out.
Yeah, Buzz. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Well, the only thing I'd say about the Wilt Chamberlain part of that is, well, he kept losing. Bill Russell won 11 of 13 championships. I know Wilt, all the scoring numbers, he can't be the best player of all time if he just kept losing. And Hakeem, unbelievable player, arguably one of the best one of the best three defensive setters of all time, won those back-to-back championships with the Houston Rockets. That's one thing that we missed in the 90s was a Rockets-Bulls series. I believe that would have been incredibly entertaining because the Bulls had nobody that they could put on Hakeem. Now, the Rockets had nobody, but nobody had anybody to cover Jordan, so that would have been entertaining. But I'd have LeBron in front of Hakeem. LeBron has the ball in his hands the whole time. The guy orchestrates everything that goes on. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on Paul Pierce's top five list, he does not have LeBron James as a top five player in NBA history. I think it's ridiculous. Maybe you disagree. We'll get into that. Plus, Kendrick Perkins has kind of a reason why LeBron's not in Paul Pierce's list. We'll get to that in just a second. We'll get you trending here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Paul Pierce's list is personal, right? Paul and Bron have never liked each other since Bron's rookie year. We're playing in Columbus, Ohio, my rookie season, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? His first preseason game is against Paul Pierce. So Paul is talking noise to the bench, right? And they're sitting over there. Bron and them, they all sitting over there, Drew Gooden and everybody. Paul actually spits over there at the bench, right? The ultimate disrespect, okay? I mean, after the game, I mean, both teams were meeting in the back. We had the guys was ready to fight. We had to hold people back. Like, it went up from there. Ever since that moment, LeBron James and Paul Pierce hate each other.
All right, so that was Kendrick Perkins this week, illustrating why LeBron James isn't on Paul Pierce's list of top five players of all time. Burke just lays it out. It's personal because of the incident that happened in LeBron's rookie season where Paul Pierce spit at the bench of the Cavaliers. Now, he was fined $15,000 for that. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so. The number is 617-779-7937. So here's the thing that interests me. First, before I get to the personal relationship between LeBron and Paul Pierce, Kendrick Perkins, former Celtic, earlier this week was talking about how Michael Jordan violated the player code by talking about guys using drugs, by saying stuff about Scottie Pippen, by saying Horace Grant was the source to the Jordan rules book. So he's saying that Jordan violated all these player codes. And then you got Kendrick Perkins coming out this week and basically putting Paul Pierce on blast. Now, this story was out there before, but I had totally forgotten about the Paul Pierce-LeBron James thing where Paul Pierce spit at the Cleveland Cavaliers bench. I hadn't remembered that. And until Perkins said it this week, nobody was talking about that particular incident, if you will. And now Paul Pierce's credibility in terms of his top five list, it's shot down by his former teammate Kendrick Perkins. So in a way, Kendrick Perkins is now violating the player code, if you will. He's violating the player code that he criticized Michael Jordan for violating in the Jordan documentary or the Last Dance documentary. It's basically the Jordan documentary, but it's called The Last Dance. So Perkins is doing exactly what he critiqued Michael Jordan of doing. Come on, Perk. This is your former guy. This is Paul Pierce, and you're just putting him on blast like that? Not a good look for Kendrick Perkins, all right? 617-779-7937. Let's get to Chris in Manchester. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, Ron?
Hey, hey.
I hate when people use the championships against LeBron.
Yeah.
They definitely needed to use two MVPs to beat him. And in the 2015 season when the Warriors beat the Cavaliers, they gave the finals MVP to the guy that had to guard LeBron because LeBron was by far the best player in that.
Yeah, and Chris, he still averaged 35 in the series. So, hey, Andre Iguodala, you did it. You held him to 35 a game.
Mm-hmm, but they had to give the finals MVP to the guy that guarded him because without a doubt, he was playing better than everybody. He had no supporting cast.
Right, right. Kyrie goes down in game one and Love didn't play in that series.
And when they talk about LeBron not having to give the last shot to Ray Allen and stuff, I'm pretty sure he scored 16 in the last quarter in that game where Ray Allen hits the shot.
Yeah, and an underrated part, Chris, about that is really LeBron's first year, okay, they lose to the Mavericks, and he was horrible. There's no defending him in that finals. But mm-hmm. after that, yeah. Dwayne Wade was never the same guy again. He had knee problems the rest of the time that LeBron was there.
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Chris. The other thing that I mentioned about Perkins, when you look at him, and he obviously has LeBron in his top five, but remember, Kendrick Perkins owes a lot to LeBron James because he played with him in the 14-15 season, and basically because he was a veteran, they brought him back in 17-18 when Perk was playing in the G League before that. Actually, I think it was still the D League at the time, but then he got back onto the playoff roster because he was good buddies with LeBron James. But if you're Paul Pierce, your credibility in terms of your top five list, now it's abundantly clear. People knew there was a rivalry between Paul Pierce and LeBron James when they were both playing, but you legitimately have a guy that won a championship with Paul Pierce coming out and saying, hey, the reason he's not in the top five is it's personal. It has nothing to do with LeBron James actually on the basketball court. It has everything to do with the personal relationship between LeBron James and Paul Pierce. Perkins said that they still don't like each other to this day. So that hurts the credibility of Paul Pierce when he's putting a list together. And just because he doesn't like LeBron James because the days they went against each other, it just I can't take his list seriously. I'm sorry, Paul Pierce. I cannot take your list seriously. Let's get to Sam. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
What's up, dude?
So I was just thinking about like the current Celtics team and whatnot, and I really think that this Tatum-Brown wing duo can be the best in basketball in a couple of years. And I think that we have two all-NBA players on our team. It's just a matter of them playing off each other and really embracing, you know, what Boston's all about, being real, you know, like lead green type of guys. And I think Jaylen Brown's 100% there, but I'm not sold that Jason Tatum is like totally committed. I feel like he's still got a lot of St. Louis in him. He was a big Kobe fan growing up, grew up a Lakers fan and whatnot. And I know that it seems like he's going to get signed long-term, but I'm just not that confident in it. I think that there's reason to believe that he might not sign long-term.
Sam, there's no negotiation there. Danny Ainge says, here's a max contract. He's going to sign that. Every guy signs the second contract with his team, like after his rookie deal. He's going to give him a max. Like with Jaylen Brown, there was a legitimate discussion because he didn't know what the contract was going to be. With Jason Tatum, it's very easy. Hey, Jason, here's a max contract. He's going to sign it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But let's say they don't win a title in those 4 or 5 years. Do you think he signs after that? Or do you think he's gone, though?
So you're saying so he fills out the contract and they never get to it. Well, yeah, I mean, then it's fair game that he'd leave the team. But if they start winning, they put the proper pieces around him. I don't see why Jason Tatum at that point in time would want to leave if everything's kumbaya with him and Jaylen Brown, if they have a good relationship, which it seems like they do, if he still likes playing for Brad Stevens. Now, in the modern day NBA, everybody seems to move around. So I understand where you're coming from, but you're at least going to get Jason Tatum to sign his next contract. You're going to get most of the prime of Jason Tatum unless you really screw this thing up.
Yeah, and I don't see him screwing it up. I mean, like, I think the only thing that could happen would be Tatum just kind of, you know, his heart getting set somewhere. Somebody's trying to convince him to play with him because him and Brad Beal grew up together, so who knows what could happen with
Sam,
that.
Sam, don't you think he could be that guy, though? Don't you think he would be the guy that's recruiting players to come play with him? Like, Jason Tatum, he's well-known around the NBA in terms of the players. Like, the popularity of Jason Tatum, he's a name brand. He's a Jordan brand guy. The players around the league all respect him. You hear a guy like LeBron James talking about how good Jason Tatum is. I feel like Jason Tatum's the new wave type of superstar in the NBA where he's actually going to be the one that's attracting free agents rather than the other way around. I believe he's going to be having guys come to him and people saying, hey, I want to play with Jason Tatum.
I think you raised a great point. Now I'm just thinking about what players would want to play with Tatum and who would be a good fit.
Hey, well, you mentioned St. Louis. You know, Bradley Beal could be on the trading block.
Yeah, well, I think the agent said that he's not going to get traded, but you really never know. It's kind of hard to believe stuff like that. I've loved Beal's game for the longest time, but at the same time, if Beal's here, that means Brown's gone.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I appreciate the phone call, Sam. Now, Bradley Beal this week, it came out that there's a couple of teams that could be interested in Bradley Beal, including the Brooklyn Nets. And if the Celtics were going to try to get a trade for Bradley Beal, you would have to take Jaylen Brown if you were the Washington Wizards, or else you'd be idiots. You don't really have anything else if you're the Celtics. Now, you have some draft picks, but you don't have much to offer besides that. So you would have to put Brown in the deal. So if you're Danny Ainge in the Celtics, you're probably not going to make that deal, even though Beal's been a great player. And Beal obviously has a real close relationship with Jason Tatum, where they both grew up in the St. Louis area, and they were buddies growing up. And Beal is a little bit older, and he was basically like a big brother to Jason Tatum when they were growing up. So there is that relationship between those two players. But I wouldn't be worried about Jason Tatum anytime soon. If we get down the road in like 3 years and the Celtics are not good, then okay, then we have that conversation. But Jason Tatum, there's no negotiation with Danny Ainge this summer. They're going to say, or whenever free agency begins in the NBA, they're going to put a contract in front of Jason Tatum and say, hey, here's a max deal, Jason. You want to sign it? And Jason Tatum's going to say, yeah, I'm going to sign the max contract with the Celtics. So that's going to be done. And that's the one thing about the Celtics this year, in terms of no matter how things go, whether or not we get to playoffs, and I'll get into the format that they're basically thinking about designing right now, where everybody's going to be in Orlando. The Celtics this season has already been a success, because the number one question that everybody had on their minds in life after Kyrie is, are you actually going to have a star emerge with Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, whoever it may be? Because these are guys that both went third in the draft, and Danny Ainge would have taken Jason Tatum with the first overall pick the year that Markelle Fultz went number one. Remember, of course, the trade with the 76ers. So the question with the Celtics is going to be, hey, do we have a star to build around? Because remember, Tatum's rookie season, really impressive, especially when they got to the playoffs, and then last year, not so much. Not that he was bad, but you didn't have the amount of growth that you were expecting, and I know we can attribute some of that to Kyrie Irving dominating the ball, etc., but the question was going to be, which Tatum are you going to get? Is Tatum going to look more like the guy from his rookie season that was great in the postseason, dunking on LeBron? And that's what we got, especially over about the last 6 weeks of the season. That's where it seems like he took a step forward. Remember, he outplayed Kawhi Leonard, and he defended Kawhi Leonard as well. So he wasn't just scoring on Kawhi. He was actually stopping Kawhi. And then if you look at it from the Lakers game, he puts up, 40 points against the Lakers. And they had no answers for Jason Tatum whatsoever, to the point where the Lakers, this was, remember, a Sunday afternoon game a couple of months ago, they were just sending double teams at Jason Tatum. They're saying anybody but Tatum. He got across half court, they're doubling him. Okay, like this is youth basketball, just to get the ball out of Jason Tatum's hands. So that's the number one thing from the Celtics this year. The question they answered, did you find the guy? And yes, they found the guy. Jason Tatum is now the superstar they're going to build the team around. The questions I had about him, can he get to the free throw line more? He's showed this year he's getting to the free throw line, especially the past 6 weeks of the season or so, taking more threes than long twos. Remember last year, that was a big issue. He's now finishing at the basket more. That's something that he worked on last offseason. So all those questions you had about Jason Tatum, the only thing he really needs to develop, because he's already a really good defender as well, the only thing really left to develop with Jason Tatum is that playmaking ability. But even a guy like Kawhi Leonard, he never really became a playmaker until this year with the Clippers. He wasn't a big-time assist guy most of his career until this year he started to become a better passer. So even if Jason Tatum never becomes an outstanding passer, he's still going to be a dominant player. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mark. He's in Rhode Island. What's up, Mark?
Hi, good afternoon.
What's going on?
When I was talking about, you guys have been talking about the top five, and I'm 67 years old, and I see so much of these choices becoming generational.
Yeah.
I can remember growing up watching the great Celtics teams that won 11 out of 13. Guys like Oscar Robertson, guys like Walt Frazier, there was so much more defined roles on that floor for each team that it's almost, you can't compare them because it's such a different game.
Yeah, no, that's fair, Mark. But really, the argument I had with Paul Pierce is to have Kobe Bryant ahead of LeBron James on the all-time list. I just can't get on board with that.
Well, yeah, I agree. You know, when you have to make an argument one way or the other, somebody's going to have to lose. But it's just opinions, basically what it's all about.
Yeah, no, I understand, Mark, there's opinions. But when you look at it, the case for LeBron is so obvious over Kobe Bryant. He is a more efficient player. He's averaged more points per game. He's been an MVP more times. Like, everything is checked in the LeBron James box.
Okay, yeah. Now, and one of the reasons why Paul Pierce on this top five, he had somebody like a Bill Russell.
Yeah.
People forget, he averaged 20 rebounds a game. You know, that's something you just don't see anymore. But then it's so far in the past that nobody even remembers it.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Mark, and I appreciate the phone call. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. I understand the argument where it's tough to compare eras, et cetera. My issue is not with Bill Russell being in the top five. My issue is not with Michael Jordan being considered the best player of all time by Paul Pierce. My issue is just with the fact that he does not have LeBron James at his list, and actually he doesn't even have him seventh. He had Tim Duncan and Shaquille O'Neal over LeBron James. That's where you just kind of lose me, when you have those guys rated in front of LeBron James. So I understand that what Perkins was pointing out, and he was doing this little, I think it's called Hoop Streams with ESPN, where it's an ESPN production, but where he was essentially saying there's been a beef with Paul Pierce and LeBron James going back to LeBron James's rookie year in the NBA. So basically, his former teammate is just saying, yeah, all this stuff that Paul was saying this week about building up an organization and building a team, etc., all that doesn't hold weight whatsoever. The reason that Paul Pierce is arguing that LeBron James is not a top five player in NBA history is because he's got this personal vendetta against LeBron James and he doesn't like the player. That's the case that Kendrick Perkins is making. Another thing that Paul Pierce said, that Pierce said about LeBron is his time in Miami. He said, let's be honest, when we saw that LeBron was going to Miami with D-Wade and Chris Bosh, did you think they would run the table? It was like, that team, nobody can beat them. They should have been 1-4. They finished with 2-4, but they probably should have been 3-4. So basically saying that they should have won all 4 years they were there, and they only ended up with two titles. And they really should have only won one championship because Ray Allen hit that shot in the first series against the Spurs, the first finals against the Spurs. But if you want to look at, okay, the Mavericks series, yeah, that's on LeBron. He was horrible. There's no argument for that. You had a team in the Dallas Mavericks that, look, Dirk was great in that series, etc., but there's no way that LeBron James should have had trouble scoring the basketball late in games. That was just inexplicable. It's one of those things that is a black mark on LeBron James's resume, especially when you're comparing it with a guy, for example, like Michael Jordan, when you're talking about the greatest of all time. But other than that, the second Spurs final, where LeBron James lost, he averaged 28 points per game, 8 rebounds per game on 57% shooting and 51% from three. The second best player on that team was Dwayne Wade. He averaged 15 points and his knees were done. So that wasn't about LeBron James. That was the rest of that team was getting old. Ray Allen was old. Dwayne Wade was getting old. He was never a great player after that. Chris Bosh was just basically hanging out on the three-point line. They did not have the great team that they had early in the LeBron tenure. So if you want to put one of those on LeBron, fine. Nobody's defending LeBron in terms of the Mavericks finals. But to say that LeBron's time in Miami, he underachieved because he only won two championships, that seems a little bit hard harsh to me. Okay, he had to be perfect in that run. Hey, come on. Let's get to Tim. He's in Attleboro. What's up? What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you doing? Good show.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you on the Kobe thing. You know, I was never a big fan of Kobe. With I thought he was kind of like a ball hog. Maybe since he didn't have Shaq and whatever, he had to take more shots. But like, you know, he just seemed to me like a ball hog. But I can't downplay his how great he was. But, you know, like when they played Cleveland, I forget, who was the second best player, the forward on Cleveland that came from another team that we actually tried to get? I forgot his name. He's about 6'11".
Antoine Jameson?
He's still playing for Cleveland now. White guy. He's about 6'11".
Kevin Love?
Yeah, Kevin Love. Like, in that team that when they were going for the championship, wasn't Kevin Love, like, basically the second best player with LeBron in that team?
Yeah, you mean, like, after Kyrie left? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so certainly. The earlier time, Tim, I mean, the second best player was who? Mo Williams when he went to the finals in 07? He basically took a team with nobodies on and it went to the finals and beat the Pistons, who had won a championship a couple of seasons prior.
Right. You know, it all goes by memory, and there's this thing called repressed memory syndrome. As time goes by, you forget about how good a player is. I would take Larry Bird over LeBron. I would take Larry. I'd flip a coin with him and Jordan. I mean, it's just me being Celtic Green, but Bird was a monster when he was playing in the league. You know, and there was an interview with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which I never heard, so I went to YouTube and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the guy asked him, who was the best player you ever played? And I figured Wilt came in when Kareem was coming. Well, Wilt was ending when Kareem came in the league, but Kareem said Larry Bird. Now, I would put, if I had a pick between Kareem and him, I would take Kareem over, you know, him and Jordan, flip a coin. But, you know, it's all, you know, at who they're playing at that time. The league is a lot more less physical than back then. I mean, back then, if a guard goes in the center, they're going to end up on their butt. You know, it was more a really hacky physical league back then. So,
yeah, that's, you know, definitely true. Hey, Tim, I appreciate the phone call. Definitely true. The game has completely changed in terms of the physicality. If you didn't grow up watching 1990s basketball, what you saw in The Last Dance just looks like something totally different. It looks like football on hardwood based on what we watch today. But in terms of Larry Bird versus Michael Jordan, I don't think there's much of an argument there. Jordan, more MVPs. His peak was longer. Larry Bird's peak is one of the best peaks in NBA history. If you're talking about 84, 85, 86, where he wins three consecutive MVPs and he wins two championships in that span, and the year that they don't win the championship, they go to the finals against the Lakers. He was the most dominating player for that three-year span in the NBA. There's no doubt about it. And for Kareem to say something like that to his point, it's because that's who Kareem's biggest rival was during that time. The Lakers' biggest rival was the Celtics, and by far, Larry Bird was the best player on that team. So I do think at times, not here, but he does get undershadowed. And the reason that Larry Bird isn't put as high as some of these other guys is the longevity wasn't there, like you see with LeBron, like you see with Michael Jordan, like you see with Magic Johnson. One thing I will say about Magic Johnson, 9 finals appearances in what, his 11 seasons or whatever it was, and he won 5 championships. Let's not dismiss the fact that the Western Conference back then wasn't as good. Like, there was nobody else there besides essentially Portland. And when you look at what the Celtics had to deal with, you had to deal with a really good Bucks team in the 80s, and the Sixers were a really good team. And then at the end of the decade, and really the middle portion of the 80s, you had the Pistons coming up. So it's kind of like now how the East sucks. That's what the West was when Magic Johnson and Kareem were playing for the Lakers. All right, a lot more to get into, including a crazy trade that apparently could have happened for the Celtics. Kendrick Perkins put that out there as well. He's basically saying everything that happened during the run with the Celtics when they had Pierce, Garnett, and Ray Allen. We'll get into all that in just a little bit. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you on WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
No, 2008, 2009, when it came up that, you know, New Orleans was, you know, Chris Paul wanted out, I guess, you know, and it was rumors starting to circulate, and it was brought to the table that, you know, what if we trade Rondo and get CP? Mm-hmm. And KG and Paul was like, nah, we ain't doing that. Like, as great as CP is, man, we just won a championship. We rocking with Dope. Like, he giving us everything that we need. But Ray was like, nah, let's do it. And what happened was Rondo ended up finding out about it, and that was it from there. It was even to the point where we bought boxing gloves to the gym, and they got on boxing gloves, Ray and Rondo. Like, they put on the gloves, and we made them box it out for about two
or three.
You guys had a fight club?
We used to have fights all the time, but that's the thing, I think, and Rondo never got over it.
All right, that was Kendrick Perkins earlier this week explaining that in 2009, the Celtics were kicking the tires on the possibility of a Chris Paul trade. And according to Kendrick Perkins, I'm going to take his word for it, I guess, Paul Pierce didn't want it to happen. Kevin Garnett didn't want it to happen. But Ray Allen's like, yeah, we'll do it. Let's go after Chris Paul. So then they get the boxing gloves out and they have a boxing match. And apparently Ray Allen and Rondo went two rounds. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you up until 4 o'clock. Okay, so first of all, let's not bury the lead for a second here. The biggest thing to me in this is Chris Paul could have been a member of the Boston Celtics. What's Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett thinking? I understand that Rondo's your guy. You want a championship with Rondo. But let's face it now, he developed into a really good player. But in the 08 playoff run, he wasn't that great. In fact, at times, he was a liability. I was just watching that Game 6 the other day where the Celtics beat the Lakers, or what was it, Game 5, whatever it was, when you had Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy on the broadcast saying Rondo is actually hurting them offensively, as is Kendrick Perkins. It's putting so much pressure on Paul Pierce because basically the Lakers don't have to defend those guys. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Celtics actually were able to get Chris Paul here? Because think about it. Now, things look good now for the Celtics now that you have Tatum and you have Jaylen Brown and you like building around these two young players. I really love the development of Jason Tatum. Obviously, he's been outstanding. It looks like he's going to be an all-star for the next 10 years. That's how good he played this, or that's how well he played up until this point in the season before it got suspended. But think about what you could have been if you actually pulled the trigger on a Rondo Chris Paul trade. If that was actually out there, if they could really actually pull that off because Paul wanted out of New Orleans. Now, eventually he ends up with the Clippers. You have one of the best point guards in NBA history. I get he doesn't have a championship ring, but Chris Paul is a massive, even at that time, a massive upgrade over Rajon Rondo. And remember, Chris Paul is one of the more popular players in the NBA. So if you bring Chris Paul to basically be the guy after Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, etc., to be the guy that keeps the tradition going for the Celtics, he can attract other superstar players to come play with him. Like, remember a couple of years ago when that Durant guy became a free agent? Eventually he gets Kevin Durant, maybe something along those lines. But Chris Paul as a member of the Celtics, that would have been an incredible thing, especially when there was still a little bit of juice left with Pierce. Now, basically, Kevin Garnett, ever since he hurt his knee in 2009, was never the same player again. He's basically playing on one leg for the rest of his career. Now, there were some spurts in 2012 in the playoffs where he showed that defensive intensity, if you will, but he was never the same guy again. If they could have ever gotten Chris Paul here, think about how differently things could have been. Maybe that big three era gets extended even further, and Chris Paul's the next superstar of the Celtics. So that's the first thing that stuck out to me when Perkins is telling that story. I'm thinking about, wait, they could have had Chris Paul. That would have been incredible if they had Chris Paul. Now, the other thing to the Rondo aspect of this. So, from my perspective, I just don't understand why these guys that were members of the Celtics have to continually bash Ray Allen. Enough's enough. We get it. You didn't like Ray Allen at the end of his tenure with the Celtics, but why do you guys always have to bring up Ray Allen? Like right now, what this looks like when Kendrick Perkins makes this story out there. And again, Kendrick Perkins, the same guy that is basically criticizing Michael Jordan in the Last Dance documentary for violating the player code, for talking about some of his former teammates using drugs, for the stuff he said about Scottie Pippen, where he said he was wrong for what he did, delaying his surgery, all that stuff, where he's basically calling out former players, etc. He said that Michael Jordan violated the player code. Okay, well, isn't Kendrick Perkins violating the locker room code by the stuff he puts out there? He's basically putting it out there that Ray Allen's a bad teammate because he didn't want Rondo over Chris Paul, which, again, from a practical standpoint, I'm on Ray Allen's side. I'd much rather have Chris Paul than Rondo, especially considering how the end of Rondo's tenure went here. Rondo admitted that at the end of his time with the Celtics, he wasn't trying on defense. He admitted that. This isn't me saying that, which was obvious at the time if you watched him play. He legitimately said that he wasn't trying on defense at the end of his time with the Celtics. So I was on Ray Allen's side on that to begin with, that if you can give me Chris Paul over Rondo, take that guy every day of the week and you say, oh, I hate watching Chris Paul play. He's trying to get all these cheap fouls. He's complaining all the time. If he was on your team, you'd like Chris Paul because he's that damn good. Okay, now the other element to this is with the Ray Allen stuff, how many times are these guys going to do this? Because we've seen it throughout the years. And this is what really pisses me off about the Ray Allen situation and everybody basically blaming Ray Allen for stuff that happened and blaming Ray Allen for going to the Heat. Let me just remind you that Ray Allen, in his final season here with the Celtics, the season that LeBron James came into the Garden and he put up 45 points and 15 rebounds, he dominated the Celtics. After that year, Ray Allen then decides to go to the Miami Heat. And the issue that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett had, et cetera, that they battled with this guy, and then he goes to what they considered to be their rival, even though at that time we knew that the Celtics, after that series, the next year, they weren't going to compete with a team like the Heat. In fact, the next year they lost to who? The New York Knicks. It's like the Knicks' only playoff win since the turn of the century. Okay, so they lost to Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks and an old, broken-down Amari Stoudemire. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, Ray Allen was coming off the bench. Remember, when he came back from the injury, and Ray Allen actually went to Doc Rivers, according to Ray Allen in his book, and he told Doc Rivers, because people in his family were telling him, he goes to Doc Rivers and he says, I think Rondo's freezing me out. Like, he's not passing me the basketball. And Doc Rivers essentially said, yeah, we're aware of that. Doc Rivers knew that it was going on, yet they didn't do anything about it. They didn't tell Rondo, hey, maybe pass it to the guy. To at that point in time, remember, Curry hadn't really come onto the scene yet, was considered to be, like, arguably the best shooter in NBA history. Definitely at that point in time, the best three-point shooter in NBA history. And Rondo's just ignoring him. If you were Ray Allen, how would you feel about that situation? And then, furthermore, when you look at it from Ray Allen's perspective, you have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade saying, hey, man, we need you to win another championship. Listen, we're needing you to come out here, just stand in the corner, come out to the three-point line. We want you for the spacing. You're going to be a big add to our team where essentially you can help us win another championship. You're the missing piece. You're going to make my life easier if I'm LeBron James. You're going to make Dwayne Wade's life easier. We need you to win a championship. We'd love to have you here to win another championship. With the Celtics, it's like, well, maybe coming off the bench, the point guard doesn't pass you the basketball, so you want to come back, Ray? What would be more appealing to you? Any human being in that particular situation would say, yeah, I'm probably going to go to the Miami Heat, especially considering Ray Allen got the least credit for the first championship. And I understand he wasn't great in that playoff run until the NBA Finals against the Lakers, where he really came on. But it seems like to me that's a very easy decision. Okay, one guy in the Celtics organization, Rondo, the point guard, who has the ball the most, he's freezing you out. The coach is aware of it, yet he didn't do anything about it. And then you have the best player in the NBA, LeBron James, alongside Dwayne Wade, a future Hall of Famer as well. And those guys, along with Pat Riley, one of the best NBA people in terms of coaches and executives that we've ever seen. And I understand Spoelstra is the coach, but Pat Riley's running the team. You have a guy like Pat Riley saying, yeah, Ray, we'd really like you here. It doesn't seem like it's a very difficult decision from my perspective if I'm Ray Allen. So everybody wants to blame Ray Allen for everything that happened here. Why don't we look at the fact that Rondo wouldn't pass him the ball? Why don't we look at the fact that Doc Rivers actually knew this was going on and did nothing about it rather than blaming Ray Allen for everything? And it's so petty. They don't invite him to the 10-year anniversary party that they had for winning the championship, etc. It just seems like it's so small. Get over it. He left because the situation was not good for him anymore. I don't understand why people get so upset in terms of these players that are members of that Celtics team get so upset with what Ray Allen did. You guys kind of put yourself in a situation where Ray Allen was willing to leave because of the way that he was treated here with the organization. They got to get over it. And by the way, this Celtics team, at the time I loved watching the 08 Celtics, but ever since then, you would think this team had like a situation where they won five championships, by the way they talk. They won one championship. They won one championship, and you get all this drama and all this stuff coming out from this Celtics group, if you will. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady conversation we were having earlier, who would be more interesting to do a documentary on now, Brady or Belichick? I say Belichick because we already know everything there is to know about Brady at this point in time, yet Brady's got another documentary coming out in 2021. Also, if you want to weigh in on Paul Pierce not putting LeBron James in his top five players of all time, which seems ridiculous to me, maybe you agree with Pierce. I think it's absolutely ridiculous to have Kobe Bryant in front of LeBron James. And I also want to get to this. A former Patriot said that Bill Belichick is going to start Brian Hoyer in week one of the season. I could not disagree more. I'll get into that in just a little bit. The number is 617-779-7937 right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.